Hello, this is Richard Davis, welcoming you to the special Christmas edition of At Home This Morning, which I'm presenting along with my co-presenter and partner in crime, Chris English. Welcome, Chris. What are you putting in the programme this time?
Well, welcome to you, Richard, and thank you very much for allowing me to join you. And in my segment of the programme, we're talking about an organisation called Pumping Marvellous, which is a new charity involved in people who are suffering from heart problems. And I'll also be talking to Michael Edwards, who you'll recall we spoke to in a previous programme, about the Veteran Car Run and how secure its future is. Richard.
Okay, thanks, Chris. Well, I'm going to be talking about the services that Age UK is providing locally over the Christmas period. And on a lighter note, finding out about a school for Santa's helpers, which has been running recently. And also about an exercise scheme to music, which one of the finalists from Strictly has put together in order to help older people to stay fit and enjoy Christmas. Okay, let's get started with Age UK. I've received various letters and indeed emails from Age UK nationally about the fact that they're running a scheme of telephone befriending, which will be available for lonely people to phone over the Christmas and New Year period. I thought I'd contact our local branch of Age UK about this and see whether they're taking part in it. So I spoke to Claire Long and began by asking her what the scheme involved.
We're a brand partner with Age UK National, and we have our own befriending service locally as well. But one of the key things is that people always have someone to talk to. So we work very much with our partners at National, and they have a befriending service. We have one locally as well. And this is all part of our Being Connected campaign, making sure that there is somebody out there for everybody. So however isolated you are, however lonely you are, whether you're just having a particularly tough day or you're not sure where you can turn, or perhaps you don't want to bother your family or loved ones, Age UK are here for you. And particularly in West Sussex, Brighton and Hove, and predominantly the Brighton and Hove area that we're here to discuss today, telephone befriending is just one of the areas that we can support vulnerable older people this Christmas. For some, this can be a really, really miserable time of year. It's cold, it's dark. Other people might be off or seemingly off having fun and enjoying the festivities. But for many older people, that's just not the case. And we just want to make sure that people know that we're still here and we're trying to spread a bit of joy as well at the same time.
Now, I get the impression from what I've read that the way that this service works is that a lonely person will phone up and ask to be befriended, and you'll then pair them off with a compatible volunteer. Is that correct?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Does that mean that if somebody is feeling lonely on Christmas Day and they just ring up out of the blue, the service won't be able to support them at that stage because you'll have to take details and refer them on to another partner?
No, not at all. They will always be able to phone through and speak to somebody. Being part of the national organisation means that there is support 24/7, 365 days a year. Please don't wait till it gets to that point. There are lots of things that we can do in the meantime, in the run-up to Christmas, in between Christmas and New Year and beyond that. We really are trying to make sure that we're there for older people, however they need that support. We're encouraging people to contact us so that we can give them a whole range of different opportunities to get involved or to get information or just to feel supported and just to feel that there's somebody there.
So how does the service work?
Well, the telephone befriending service, if you are keen to be matched with somebody locally, then you can contact us as you would for any of our services. And I will make sure that everybody has all of the telephone numbers and what have you at the end of this interview. So please grab a pen. But basically, that's one of the services we offer. We also do doorstep deliveries. And one of the things I wanted to share today was that we're running our Bags of Support campaign as well this year, which is information for people to read, advice about how to stay warm and well this winter, some fun stuff too, some quizzes, some activity packs, some nice sweet treats, but also some hand warmers, some socks, you know, the things to keep you warm. We hear such terrible things about many older people having to make that choice between heating and eating because money's very tight, bills are going up, and we very much don't believe you should have to choose. So we're here to help you. And obviously loneliness is a big thing, which is why the telephone befriending is also one of the services that we offer too. But that's not just in isolation. We want to make sure that you can see somebody with the whites of the eyes too. And we've got a huge army this Christmas of staff and volunteers who will be not only on the phones, but also coming out and delivering our bags of support to older people.
So if somebody does want to phone you up on Christmas Day for a chat, what's the number they should phone?
So basically, if people want to contact us about our befriending service, about our bags of support, or generally about any information or advice that we might be able to help with, they can call us free phone. It's a free number, and that's 0800 019 1310. Or if they prefer, they can email us. And the email address that people need is info@ageukwsbh.org.uk. That's info@ageukwsbh.org.uk.
Okay, thanks. Now, you were going to tell me a bit more about the bags of support that you are able to send out.
Yes, absolutely. So this year, we're really putting the focus on keeping people warm and well this winter. So contained in the bags, as well as the usual magazine with information, with activity packs, some sweet treats and practical things, this year, we're going to be including some hand warmers, some lovely warm thermal socks, advice about how to keep warm if people are worried about keeping their bills down or they're worried about the cost of energy going up, which we know is a huge concern this winter. We're looking to advise as much as we can, but also that these bags are delivered by a real person. We are reaching out to people who aren't able to get down and access perhaps the activities or the centres that they went to before.
And how do people go about getting hold of these bags of support?
If you're worried about somebody and you're keen for us to get in touch, it's the same number about any of our services, and that's 0800 019 1310. And our team of staff and fabulous volunteers at the end of the phone will be able to support you with whatever you need. We're also delivering meals to people again this winter, including a festive meal. So we're delivering right up to and including that Christmas period with a festive meal. So perhaps, you know, people aren't well enough to get out to loved ones, or perhaps they're on their own. So I don't know whether that's worth a mention.
Yes, it is, actually. And again, is it a case of phoning up and requesting the service?
Absolutely. And you can phone for yourself, or you can contact us if you're concerned about a neighbour, a friend, a loved one, someone you care for. If you're worried about them being lonely or isolated this winter, this festive period.
And presumably, if people want to make donations, they can... Again, phone the same number.
Absolutely. They can phone the same number or they can go to our website. There are a number of different ways people can donate, whether that be through being a regular giver, whether that's contents for the bags or volunteering their time to help deliver them. That would also be super, super helpful. So, yes, please do give us a call or check out our website or drop us an email. I'll mention that email address again, info@ageukwsbh.org.uk, and there's a whole realm of ways that you can get involved, and we'd love to hear from you.
Claire Long, thanks very much.
My pleasure. Thank you for having us on.
I was talking to Claire Long from Age UK, West Sussex, Brighton and Hove, about the services that they're providing over the Christmas period. You can find out more by going to their website, which is ageukwsbh.org.uk. That's ageukwsbh, which is typed all as one word, .org.uk. If you want to get in touch with them, you can email them, and the email address is info@ageukwsbh.org.uk, or you can phone the local branch on a free phone number, which is 0800 019 1310. That's 0800 019 1310. That number's only manned during office hours, so if on Christmas Day or indeed any time over the holiday period you need to get in touch with Age UK, or perhaps you simply just need to talk to somebody, you can phone their national number, which is also a free phone number, and that is 0800 678 1602. That's 0800 678 1602. And for the sake of completeness, I ought to mention that there are a couple of other organisations who you can ring over the Christmas New Year period and whose lines are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There is Silver Line, and their number, again free phone, is 0800 470 80 90. That's 0800 470 80 90. And of course there are the Samaritans, and their free phone number is 116 123. That's 116 123. Well, now it seems that it's not just lonely people who are in need of help over the Christmas period. An organisation called Next Door has decided that Santa is in need of help in getting round all the things that he has to do. So they've set up a training scheme to help people train as Santa's helpers. To find out more about it, I spoke to Roisin O'Neill, and I began by asking her to tell me more about her organisation.
Next Door is a neighbourhood network which connects you to others in your local community. So neighbours on Next Door are sharing helpful local recommendations, they're exchanging information, they're sharing local updates, local news, they are buying and selling second-hand items or giving them away for free, they're supporting local businesses and they're joining groups. I use Next Door myself up in North London, my local neighbourhood, and it's brilliant. It's a great way to connect with the local community. And it's just great to see how strong neighbours are when they come together.
Right. Now, I gather that this year you've decided that Santa needs some help. Can you tell me a bit about that?
We have. Well, Santa has quite a job. We did some research and what we found is that 78% of UK neighbours are at risk of not having the opportunity to have a visit from Santa in their local area, which really saddened us. I remember being a little girl and having Santa's sleigh come down the cul-de-sac and all the village kids would jump on it and we'd be screaming and shouting at Santa. I think everybody has a memory of meeting Santa for the first time or certainly participating in some kind of Christmas activity. And we just wanted to give back to our UK communities. UK neighbours are doing some incredible things on Next Door. And we thought, well, what fun. Let's put on a Next Door Santa School. It's our first time doing it. The training sessions have been both in person and online. And the training sessions are for 100 UK neighbourhood volunteers who are coming to train up to be Next Door's Santa's helper and then bring that festive cheer and merriment back to the UK communities.
So where and when is this training happening?
The training sessions are this week and next week. We are fully booked. We had a fantastic response from people within communities all across the UK, from Manchester to London, Scotland, Northern Ireland and beyond. It was really brilliant to see so many people coming forward to say, yes, I want to bring this merriment back to my community. And I think that's probably a sign of the times. People really want something where they can engage in a really fun way and give back to their communities.
How long does the training take?
It was very intense, but incredibly fun. The training session covered everything from how to ho-ho-ho and in a very merry manner. It's a real belly laugh. It's very infectious, actually. The volunteers received a full Santa's kit, so everything from the beard to the boots, and they would learn how to put on the costume, how to put on the makeup, to sort of look weathered and quite aged, and what to say, and facts about Santa, about the reindeer, how to have lovely conversations with the children that they would be meeting as well. So it's all about the creating that magical and unforgettable experience for children. I would say our volunteers did very well. They absorbed everything in the few hours that they had. And we're staying in contact with the Santas to hear about their journey and to hear about what they're doing in their local communities.
So it's less than a day then?
Yes, less than a day, although I'm pretty sure they all went back and did their homework. We're reciting the reindeer's names.
And where was the training taking place?
The training was both online and offline. So we had a session in London yesterday, but the other training sessions are online. And that's really just to make sure that it's accessible for everybody throughout the UK.
Now, you say that it's fully booked for this year and most of it's already happened. Are you intending to run a similar scheme next year?
I have to say that we were just really delighted, not really surprised, to be honest. We were delighted that so many people came forward and were interested in taking part in becoming a neighbourhood Santa and bringing that back. And absolutely, look, at Next Door, we're all about the neighbourhood. We're all about neighbours coming together and adding value to neighbours. So I'm delighted that we were oversubscribed, but I'm also slightly saddened because I would love to do more of these Santa training sessions. And if this is something that UK neighbours want, then by all means, we will definitely repeat it next year and make it bigger, for sure.
So if people are interested in taking part, and it's obviously too late for this year, then it's still worth them having a look on the website.
Absolutely. There's so many things that are happening. We're only at the beginning of December. I can't believe I'm already saying Happy Christmas. I'm sort of getting used to it a little bit. But yesterday's training session definitely got me in the Christmas spirit.
And if people think they'd like to train as one of Santa's helpers next year, it's quite likely that they'll be able to do so.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely. We would love to hear from you and we'll certainly be putting on the training sessions if there's absolutely this interest, which it kind of sounds like there is.
Well, it's something to cheer us up in the present pandemic situation, isn't it?
Indeed.
Do the people who've had the training get a certificate or any sort of formal qualification to say that they're now a fully qualified Santa helper?
You'll have to ask the big man himself. No, the training pack included a full Santa's kit. It included a material as well, like a book that they were able to refer back to. I have to say that none of the Santas needed a certificate. They really got into the spirit yesterday. We did some role play, so we sort of pretended to be in the grotto and they left. It was wonderful, actually. It was really wonderful to see them leave through the door knowing that they were about to go and spread Christmas spirit and cheer in their neighbourhoods.
Oh, it sounds like a very worthwhile project, so I hope you do repeat it next year. Finally, can you just tell me how people can get more information?
Certainly. If you head to nextdoor.co.uk and find out what's happening in your local area, we have some information on our website.
Okay, thank you very much, Roisin. Well, it's been very interesting talking to you. And it's obviously been a great success. And thanks. And as you say, it may be a bit early, but Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you. Thank you very much for having us.
I was talking to Roisin O'Neill about the School for Santa's Helpers that's being run by an organisation called Next Door. You can get more information from their website, which is at nextdoor, typed all as one word, .co.uk. That's nextdoor.co.uk. I had a look on their website and unfortunately they're not giving a phone number. Okay, well, for our next item, it's over to you, Chris.
Thanks, Richard. And a charity single. What could be better for the Christmas programme? It's a charity single is called Music Will Live in Our Hearts by Alice Fern and Jay McDowell. And it's all in aid of a charity called Pumping Marvellous. Joining us now via Zoom is Nick Hartshaw-Evans. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Chris.
And a charity single, how is that going to help the charity?
Heart failure is a condition that affects up to 1 million people in the UK. And one of the big issues with heart failure that we do have is that nobody knows exactly what it is. Everybody has heard of cancer. Everybody has heard of diabetes, blood pressure. But heart failure is so underrecognized. And one of the jobs of the charity is to raise awareness of heart failure across the UK. And we just happen to have some friends who produce all our videos for us, and they know people in the West End. And we thought it would be a really good idea to do a charity Christmas single that was sung by some famous West End stars and a Britain's Got Talent winner, to just raise the awareness of the charity and raise the awareness of heart failure. And hopefully, if people like the single, they'll buy it because it's on Spotify, Apple Music or Amazon. But also get interested in what we do as a charity. And also, if anybody who had heart failure or whose relative had a heart failure, they would engage with the charity and we could help them live better with the condition. So that was the reason for doing it. And it's also a bit of fun. And we're all living in times of uncertainty. And music is a great binder of people.
Now, I think you yourself are a patient, aren't you, with a heart condition?
Yep. I was diagnosed in 2010. With heart failure, and my heart failure was caused by another virus, which was part of the swine flu pandemic in 2009-2010. And the virus which caused swine flu didn't affect me like it affected everybody else, it seems, but it actually affected my heart and caused atrial fibrillation and also heart failure. So in January 2010, I was in hospital for 3 weeks at 39 with heart failure, which was very unusual. But there are lots and lots of people who live with heart failure who are all different ages. It's not just an elderly person's condition. It's a condition that affects from babies in Great Ormond Street through to people in their 90s.
So why is a charity called Pumping Marvelous?
Well, I'm an entrepreneur. I was a business owner before I was diagnosed with heart failure in 2010. And I think as an entrepreneur, you've got to think for yourself and think on your own 2 feet, and nobody's going to help you really. People always say I'm a bit of a marketeer. And when I got diagnosed with heart failure, the biggest problem I had was help, because the British Heart Foundation is a research charity predominantly. They're more like cancer research. So they do some fantastic work in research. But what was missing in the UK, believe it or not, with a patient population so large of 1 million, was helping people live with the condition. So from my own experiences, I set the charity up. I didn't really know what a charity was, but I called it Pumping Marvelous because it's an organ. I suppose cardiologists would say it's the most important organ in the body. You may get somebody who deals in neurology say that the brain's more important, but I don't know. So I'm not getting into that argument, but it is a marvelous organ. And, you know, I wanted to put a positive spin on what we were trying to do. It doesn't make any grammatical sense, but people remember it because it's different. And the title of the charity is the Pumping Marvelous Foundation. And the two things that we do are help people live better with heart failure. And there's lots of things to helping people with heart failure. And the second thing we do is we get involved in discussions, central government level and local government level, or local NHS level, central NHS level. And we put the patient's viewpoint across, because sometimes the patient's viewpoint, the patient insights, gets lost and we forget, not we as people living with it, but we do forget that patient insights are very, very important to when decisions are being made. And that's what we do.
And how can people find out more information?
Well, we've got a great website. We've got pumpingmarvelous.org. So that's pumpingmarvelous, all one word, .org. And there's lots of information on the website. If you're a patient, you can go to our Facebook page and you can find out lots of information about heart failure. And in the Facebook search bar, you can put in heart failure aware. And then if you are a patient or a carer of somebody with heart failure, you can join our online community of thousands and thousands of patients who talk to each other on a day-to-day basis and help each other. And all you need to do is search in Facebook for Help for Hearts. And it's a very well moderated, very well respected and managed group. It's actually moderated by around 25 expert patients right across the country, and the NHS heart failure specialist teams, like heart failure nurses and cardiologists, signpost patients to it, because what really helps is peer-to-peer support. So people who have the same condition as you, and it's very, very helpful indeed. It's very underestimated, but there are many, many people that we've helped over the many years. And you can put Pumping Marvelous into Google. And we've got a national campaign that's going at the moment. So if you put into Google hashtag, not literally hashtag, but the hashtag BEAT HF, and that stands for breathlessness, exhaustion, ankles, time for a simple blood test. And that's our national campaign at the moment to try and get people to understand the symptoms of heart failure and why it's important to get an early diagnosis. It may not be great to get a diagnosis of heart failure, I know firsthand, but the sooner you get diagnosed, the sooner they recognize it, the sooner they'll be able to treat it. And it is treatable heart failure. It's a horrible phrase, but it's not a heart attack and it's not a cardiac arrest. Heart failure means that your heart is struggling to pump blood around your body, and therefore that's why you become breathless, and that's why you become very tired, and you potentially get ankle swelling as well. So it's really important to recognise symptoms of heart failure. That's our national campaign, BEAT HF.
Wonderful. And as somebody that's recently been afflicted, I sympathise. Well, we're going to play your charity single in a couple of moments. It's called Music Will Live in Our Hearts. And why that as a title?
We engaged with Pippa Cleary. And Pippa Cleary is an extremely talented producer, director, songwriter in the West End. She produced, directed and wrote Adrian Mole 13 and 3 quarters from the original book. If anybody's old enough to remember that, I am definitely. She's a very young, talented individual. We also knew Alice Fearn, and Alice Fearn has been in many movies. She's been in Mamma Mia, but she also very well known for being the Green Witch in Wicked in the West End. And she's just a well-known actress. And then Jai McDowell, who was a previous winner of Britain's Got Talent, also accompanies Alice. And it's just a really nice song. And we wanted to be positive about heart failure, because the word failure is about doom and gloom, really. When is anybody invested in failure? So let's be positive about it. And it was just a nice, simple song title that people could understand.
Nick, that's wonderful. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
To climb, and I'll lift you up there Show me the mountain to climb.
Music
whether we're near or apart. Music will live in our hearts.
That was the charity single that Chris was talking about. It's called Music Will Live in Our Hearts, and it's sung by Alice Fern and Jay McDowell. And you can get a copy of it from Spotify, Apple Music, or Amazon. It's being sold in aid of a campaign run by a charity called Pumping Marvellous. You can find out more about that campaign by doing a Google search for BEATHF, that's BEATHF, which is the name of the campaign. And there's a Facebook group for patients and carers of those suffering from heart failure, and the name of that group is Help for Hearts. Now, still on the subject of health, but with a rather more cheerful slant to it, I heard just recently about a scheme called Move Into Christmas. It's run by an organisation called Anchor, and would you believe it aims to get us to rock around the Christmas tree? To find out more about it, I spoke to Asa Johnson, who's their Service Improvement Manager, and I began by asking him just to tell me briefly who Anchor are.
Anchor are England's largest not-for-profit provider of care and housing for older people.
So you provide care homes and sheltered housing schemes and that sort of thing, do you?
That's right, yeah, across England.
Now, you've come up with a scheme called Move Into Christmas. Could you tell me what that's about?
Yeah, Richard, we are really excited for our Move Into Christmas campaign. Anchor are focusing on the power of dance over the festive period and the benefits to people's physical, social and mental well-being, especially in later life. So we know that regular physical activity is great for our health and well-being, particularly dancing. And we have our own internal physical activity exercise program called Zest. And one of the offerings has been Zest Dance, which has probably been the most popular version of Zest in our care home. So yeah, we're really looking forward to launching Move Into Christmas.
And how does the scheme work?
We have recorded a training video with former Strictly Come Dancing champion Aurea Duba. We filmed it at one of our care homes, Dawson Lodge in Southampton. And we've selected the song Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. The training video is available to all of our residents in our care homes and colleagues, but we're also asking the general public to get involved as well. So all your listeners, they can access the video via anchor.org.uk/move into Christmas. And they can post their versions of the video on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, using the hashtag Move Into Christmas.
When you say their versions of the video, what do you mean?
Well, we've got our training video, so you can follow the moves of Ore, Helen and Sarah, or you can put your own slant on it. That's absolutely fine. As long as you're moving, as long as you're getting involved with the dance, that's the most important thing.
So the idea is that they can actually dance to the music and take pictures of themselves doing so?
Yeah, photos, videos. Like I say, Ore, Sarah and Helen are providing the moves, so you can follow along with them. We've got a seated version and a standing version, so whatever you feel most comfortable doing. But like I say, if you want to put your own twist on it, that's absolutely fine. We really want people to get involved and just enjoy it. You know, the joy of dance, good for you mentally, good for you physically. And we're really looking forward to seeing everybody getting involved.
So anybody can do this at any time simply by accessing the website you mentioned. There's just the one video, though, presumably.
That's right. There's one training video. It's about a minute and a half long. We use the Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. We've got an instrumental version, but you can use another version if you'd like, and post on social media using the hashtag Move Into Christmas.
Now, you mentioned that there are versions available for people to perform seated. How does that work?
With all of our Zest exercise videos, we always have a standing and a seated version, because we know people feel comfortable at different levels, and we want as many people to be involved as possible. Everything we do here at Anchor, we strive to be inclusive. You can see that through our dance video, where we've got a written version for people to read if they find it hard to follow the video. And we've also got, like I say, standing and seated versions for people to follow along to as well.
I mentioned this to my wife and she reminded me that back in the 50s, or was it the 60s, I can't remember, there was a form of seated dance called the hand jive. I wonder if it has any similarities to what you're doing.
Well, you know what? There are actually elements that are quite similar to the hand jive in there. There's lots of pom-poms and tinsel as well, I do warn you. So very festive, very festive.
Right. The more festive, the better, no doubt.
Exactly, definitely.
Is there any way that people can get involved in this communally rather than just as individuals?
Definitely. And actually, we've seen from the research we've done here at Anchor that 64% of the public say dancing brings people together, and it absolutely does. So people can do it on their own. They can do it in groups, families. We know that, you know, dance does have the power to bring different generations together. And we can do that virtually this year because we've had, you know, the older people living in our care homes taking part. And there might be younger people in the community taking part as well. So we can come together virtually through social media to enjoy this festive activity together. Like I say, you can access it via our YouTube channel, or you can go to anchor.org.uk/move into Christmas. And all the videos and the text to go along with it are there available for people.
And is there any charge?
No, absolutely free. We really want people to be involved. Absolutely no charge. So, yeah, get your videos on social media and we look forward to seeing them.
It sounds like an excellent idea. Can you just give me the web address again, please?
Absolutely. It's anchor.org.uk/move into Christmas. And if you're posting your videos on social media, it's #MoveIntoChristmas.
OK, well, as I say, it sounds like an excellent idea. Asa Johnson, thanks very much.
Thanks, Richard. Look forward to seeing your video.
Right. I don't know that I'm up to it, but we'll see. I was talking to Asa Johnson of Anchor. You can find out more by going to anchor.org.uk/MoveIntoChristmas. And now it's over to Chris English again to introduce the next item.
I remember in a recent programme, I was talking to Brighton resident Michael Edwards, who owned a veteran car, no less, and he was taking part in this year's veteran car run. My next question to Michael was, and do you think there will still be a veteran car run in 50 to 100 years' time?
Of course, I do. I really do. I think that fossil fuels will still continue to be manufactured, probably in much smaller quantities, but they have so many different applications that the fuel will be available. I think people's interest in history will still be there. When you think about how many history channels and history programs there are on televisions, I mean, last night I watched a program called The Repair Shop, you know, where it's all about restoring old items. But what is really interesting is that the interest is not the piece, it's not the leather handbag, it's not the doll, it's not the piece of household equipment that's important. It's the story behind it. It's the person who owned it and the role that that individual had in someone's family, maybe 50 or 100 or even longer ago than that. And so there is the association of old things with people who are now left us, but they were at some point a very important part of a family. And the same is true with veteran cars, with my own car. It's been in my own family since 1930. And so we are, as a family, very interested, you might even say besotted by that particular car. And you know, one of my jobs, I'm chairman of the Dion Bouton Club, which we have several hundred members worldwide, each with cars that date pre-First World War. I can't tell you how many email inquiries I get on a monthly basis where someone sends me a photograph saying, this is a photograph of my grandfather taken in 1910 when he was a chauffeur. Would you please be able to identify the car in the photograph? Is it a Dion Bouton? Would you be able to give us the year when the car was made? So that there is the association between old things and people's lives. And people are interested in their heritage, they're interested in their family tree. And people who are looking at their family's trees, they can find out who their great-great-grandmother was, and they can find out when she was born and when she died and who she married. But when you see a photograph of the individual, you want to find out, where was the photograph taken? What was the car? Does their house still exist? Does the road still exist? You know,
yeah.
There's a natural inquisitiveness around old things. So I to go back to your question, having meandered carefully around it, Yes, I do think that there's going to be an interest in veteran motor cars 50 or 100 years from now. I think people will still want to drive them. Interestingly for me, I have two daughters, one of whom has driven my veteran car and on the run and really enjoyed it. And this, just a few weeks ago, my eldest daughter came with me, who hasn't driven the car. And her reaction was that it was a fabulous day. And wouldn't she like to drive the car? Wouldn't she like to learn how to drive the car? Mm. So now I'm in the middle of giving her driving lessons. And I suspect when they have their own families, if we still have the car, then there might be the interest in learn to drive the car that their grandfather drove. So, yes, I think the interest will persist.
That's really good news. And I like your reference to the repair shop, because it's not just the restoration of these old items. It's the skills that people acquire to enable them to do those restorations, which otherwise might be lost.
And that's an excellent point, actually, because if you think about a veteran car, it's very obvious with some of the cars to see that they were derived from horse-drawn carriages. They have wooden wheels, yes, for a start. There's one particular wheelwright in Sussex, where I think there's most of the cars that need to have their wheels repaired. And he's the last person doing it. And if you were to scour the country, I don't think you'd find more than a dozen wheelwrights who can actually do the kind of things that he does. So you're right, he is preserving that tradition. By the same token, there are many other skills. The creation of the leather upholstery, for example, the repair of the leather upholstery, the repair of the brass lamps on the cars. And there are so many different elements of the mechanical side of the cars, the engines and the gearboxes and the rear axles and differentials, which, okay, in principle, they're very similar to the kind of cars you might see on the road today. But actually, in terms of the metals they're made of, in terms of the way they're made, in terms of the manual way they're made, they're not made by machines or anything. It does need people with very particular kind of skills, and those skills are in short supply. And it is one of the things that people who drive horse-drawn carriages now and people who drive early motor cars, they're keeping those skills alive. They're keeping those people in business. So I think, apart from the historical interest, there's an economic benefit to that. And I think what I would say, because there are so many veteran cars in the UK, probably more so per head of population than many of the European countries, you will find that quite a lot of the skilled people who are restoring veteran cars in this country do attract a lot of interest from overseas. People send their cars over to be repaired because they know that this is one of the few countries where those skills are nurtured and they're actually admired.
Wonderful. Michael, thank you very much for joining us. We could talk for hours about this subject, and hopefully we will find another occasion in the future.
I shall look forward to it. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you, Chris.
Chris was talking to Michael Edwards, who's a local veteran car enthusiast. And that brings us to the end of our programme. Thanks for listening. I hope you've enjoyed everything you've heard in the last hour. Chris and I will be back in a fortnight's time with a New Year programme, in which we'll be playing again some of the best bits of our programmes from 2021. So, in the meantime, it just remains for us both to wish you a Merry Christmas.
And a Merry Christmas from me, and a Happy New Year, and let's hope that 2022 is a rather better year than the last couple.
Thanks, Chris. So, it's goodbye from me.
And from me.
And a Happy Christmas to you all. Goodbye.
Bye.